Blog Talk Radio.
New beginnings is not just for the young. Amen. Isn't it good to know that God gives us second chances and third chances? Amen. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old has gone and a new life has begun. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And we do thank you for tuning in and being a part of this hour. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to join in, call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. You can call in and be a part of this hour. Amen. If you choose to listen by internet, amen, amen, amen. We just pray that you get a word this evening. In fact, I'm sure that you're going to get a word this evening. We'll be moving over into Chicago, Illinois with Bishop Eddie Harris. And we know that he has a word from the Lord. As we go into prayer, and the next voice you hear will be Bishop Eddie Harris from Chicago, Illinois. Jesus Christ, we thank you, Heavenly Father, as you travel through towns and villages. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your healing, Heavenly Father, that you show us day by day, Heavenly Father, curing every disease and illness. Father, we come in right now, Heavenly Father, that we might be able to experience, Heavenly Father, not only healing, Heavenly Father, from but a word, Heavenly Father, from the Lord. Lord, Father, we seek you, Heavenly Father. We come out, Heavenly Father, Lord, just knowing, Heavenly Father, Lord, that where there are two or three that come together in your name, that you are in the midst. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for those who have coronavirus, Heavenly Father, Lord, those, Heavenly Father, who are healing from it right now, and we even pray for, Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones from this deadly virus, Heavenly Father. We know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you are the God, Heavenly Father, who is able to cure all things, Heavenly Father, and we pray right now that no weapons that are formed against any of us shall prosper. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the man of God that's coming forth, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you bless him, Heavenly Father, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet as he proclaims your word this evening. Heavenly Father, as we listen, Heavenly Father, as we hear and gain a word from you this evening, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this prayer. Amen, amen, amen. Bishop Eddie Harris, are you there? Bishop Harris.
Amen, amen. Thank you so very much.
Praise the Lord. We thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on this evening and share a word with us. We do appreciate you and just, you know, just for your humbleness that you show each and every time, Heavenly Father, that, you know, even every time that we come together, and you just have such an humble spirit. We just thank you for being that type, showing that type of character in the spirit.
Amen. Thank
you
so much.
We're going to move out of the way, and we're going to turn it on over to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Clay. I thank you and your wonderful wife, Dr. Clay, for opening up this door and giving me this opportunity. Amen. And I thank God for my home church filling station ministries that I believe is on Apostle Monica Lee. So I thank God for them, and I thank God for each and every person that is listening in on this evening, because God has a word for you. Is there a word from God? Amen. There is a word from God, and truly I thank God for what he is doing. I thank God because I'm still yet in the land of the living. And
amen.
I know sometimes it seems hard and sometimes it seems kind of crazy, but the fact that God still allowed you to wake up and yet see another day gave you the opportunity is a reason for you to just let him know that you're thankful. Amen. But truly,
amen.
We thank God. We're not going to prolong the time. I'm still going to say a quick prayer. It's just something I have to do before I speak. So if you bow your heads with me as we go through the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, God. We thank you for this word. God, we thank you that this be a word that is fulfilling to someone's soul, dear God. Let it be a word that gives them what they need to get through the rest of this week and possibly part of next week. So, God, we thank you. Remove me and you get in, dear God. Take me out and you step in and begin to speak. And, Lord, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our topic for the evening is Come to the Deep. Luke 5:1-7. And it's interesting because my daughter spoke on Sunday, and my daughter spoke the same message, basically. She used the exact same scriptures, and I was thinking of some things that I had already got my topic, and I was looking at some things, and I heard some things she said, and God gave me, come to the deep. And so before we start reading tonight, I was looking up the word deep, and it's situated far down, in, or back. Being situated out, away from everybody else. Being situated, it said, either far down, in, or back. And so this evening, we want to talk about going out into the deep. So we're going to start reading Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm reading from the Message Bible.
Or they could want to take us for dinner, but we are already halfway through.
They want to take us for dinner.
Once, when he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, was pushing on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat that was Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there, using the boat as a pulpit, he taught the crowd. Now, I was looking at this, come to the deep. And when you think about the deep, most of us, we think about water. And we think about deep water. And a lot of us be like, no, because we don't swim like that. It's just not our thing. You know, we'll be around the shore. We'll get up maybe to 5 feet, depending on how tall we are. But we ain't going out too much further than that. Like my apostle said, I ain't getting in that water if my feet can't touch the bottom. Even if I'm at the beach, if my feet can't touch the sand, I'm not. That ain't for me. And a lot of us are the same way. If we don't have the safety net that we used to, we can't do that. But I begin to realize that coming into the deep, just like being a swimmer in the deep, requires certain skills. Being able to come out into the deep spiritually requires a couple skills. One, you got to be willing to leave that which is around you. In Genesis 12 and 1, he told Abram to leave his native country. Because, see, when you leave the deep, people that can't swim can't come. When you leave out to the deep, people that can't swim can't come out where you are. And there are some people that's in your life that's holding you by your ankles in the water, because you're in the shallow end where everybody else is at. And you can't get away from them because you simply don't want to leave the shallow end. But in order to get what God has for you and to get what God is trying to prepare you for, you got to let go of some things. You got to realize that Joe that you was holding on to ain't for you. Oh, he got bulging muscles and he got that curly good hair and he know how to talk to me and he treat me just right. But Joe is still holding you back. Maybe it ain't Joe. Maybe it's Jill. And Jill is everything you wanted that you thought you wanted. But she ain't for you. She holding you back. maybe it's some friends that you got. And as much as you try to do right, something about them friends, they just always get you into something. Always convince you to do this or to do that. They're holding you back from going where God wants you to go. Because, see, in order to go to the deep, one, you got to be willing to trust God. Now, I want you to look at this, and I know I'm a bit unorthodox the way I tend to teach sometimes, but I want you to look at this, and I want you to see it from an everyday perspective. I was preaching, and I got a crowd of people. You was out on your boat already. You had finished what you was doing. You was cleaning your net. And while you was cleaning your net, here I am, the stranger that you heard preaching that you don't know got on your boat. And then said, look, I need you to cast out. Not only do I need you to cast out, I need you to stay out there because I got to preach to these people. You're going to be looking at me like, bro, what's your problem? I don't know you. Why are you on my boat? I already been working. Would you please get off my boat? Simon wasn't that way. Simon was obedient. It didn't say nowhere in the scriptures that Simon knew who he was. But see, there's something about the presence of God. And that's a whole nother message. But there's something about when you're in the presence of God. And so Simon couldn't say no because it was Jesus. So we're going to keep going. So the fishermen, as I said, had just left them and they were scrubbing their nets. And they climbed into the boat that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he was finished teaching, he said to Simon, push out into the deep and let your net out for a catch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember when I said going to the deep requires certain skills. First, you got to be willing to obey, and then you got to be willing to believe in order to maintain in the deep. A lot of us say, oh, I want to be a water walker. I want to be like Peter was. But remember, when Peter took his foot off of God, he began to sink. And see, when you're in the deep, it's different because, see, when you launch out, you can't see the shore no more. There's not that safety no more. You have now got to do nothing but trust God. But that's what the deep is about. It's about being obedient and trusting. And so first we're going to talk about obedience. We're going to talk about what it takes to obey. So it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. John, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdens.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. It is necessary to be obedient. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you have got to be able to obey God. I've just recently got a new pet. I got a Siberian Husky. And given it, she is a great dog. But being obedient is not one of her strong points. I watched my dog today, and I thought about us as saints. I tell her what to do, but she'll do it when she's finally ready. I tell her, Princess, come here. Get over here. She'll look at me. She'll think about it. She'll finish doing what she was doing. Then she'll come here. Same way so many of us are with God. God said, let that go. Let it go now because there's a blessing for you. But what do? We don't know how to be obedient. So we hold on to it until we feel like we're tired of it. Or we continue to hold on to it. Then we wonder, why did something happen? Because God told you a minute ago to let it go, and you didn't want to let it go, so he had to take it from you. Same way I do my dog. My dog might have something. I say, give me that. She don't want to give it to me. I say, give me that. I give her another chance. She don't give it to me. I have to go take it from her. Well, Bishop, why God got to take it from me? Because he told you that he knows the thoughts that he has for you. And what you have in your hand right now ain't part of the thoughts that he has for you. And so in order for his perfect plan to work, then you got to let go of some things. So we got to be obedient.
Amen.
Well, Bishop, I'll be obedient, but do you really? Well, I try, but do you really? God tell you get up and pray 5 a.m. You'll be like, God, come on, why I got to get up? Come on, 5 a.m. is early. We have corporate prayer twice a week at my church, and it's at 5:30. And then I have dialysis 3 days a week. The 2 days a week that I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to go to dialysis are the 2 days that my church has prayer. Now, I wasn't getting on the prayer line. I wasn't doing it. I said, nope, I only get to sleep in 2 days a week. I am not getting up and getting on prayer. I heard God telling me, you need to start getting on the morning prayer. I get up 3 days a week at 4 o'clock. I'm not doing that. Why this week my alarm went off at 5:30 a.m., and I know I didn't set it. I'm laying there. I hear my alarm on my phone going off. I'm like, why is my phone going off? I look at my watch, it's 5:30. I hear God say corporate prayer. I get up, get the phone, and dial in. I said, well, undoubtedly, God, you wanted me to pray. You set off the alarm. God has a way of getting you to do what you need to do. I'm trying to launch out into the deep, my own self. I'm trying to better myself when it comes to my spiritual walk with God. And in order for me to better myself, I needed to be able to get up and pray. I made a lot of excuses. I was like, God, I prayed. I was like, God, we just came off a fast, and we had to pray 7 times between 5 and 5. I made it 7 times almost every day. They weren't long prayers, God, but they was prayers. But see, that's what we do. The same way I was making up excuses, that's how we do. We make up excuses. Then we wonder, why am I not where I should be? Why am I not where I want to be? Why am I not where I know I can have what I need to have? Because you're not willing and obedient. But let me tell you something. Something about when you begin to obey. You begin to see doors open. Because, see, let me tell you something. You can't have faith without obedience. Because in order for you to trust God, you got to be able to obey God. And now I want you to ask yourself, while you're sitting on the line, ask yourself, say, self, Do I really trust God? And then just think about it. If you lost your paycheck tomorrow, would you be able to make it? Or would you go bananas? Because you got a mortgage due, or you got rent due, you got a car note, you worried about your insurance. You got all these different issues that you're going to have if, in fact, you lose your job. Because truth be told, yes, you got some faith in God, but your other faith is in your job. And why is that? Why is it that we go to something uncertain every day of the week and we trust that everything is going to be good, but we got something that when we read about it and we read the words that's been left to us, we know that it is certain, but that we don't use. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
But let me keep reading just a little more, and I'm going to get where you want me to be in just a minute. So he climbed into the boat that was Simon's, and he asked him to pull out a little from the shore. Sitting there using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. This is where it gets interesting to me. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out in the deep water and into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." So he told him, "Come on, let's go out here to the deep." And so he went out to the deep. I'm sorry, just a moment. I got a new laptop and I'm having problems making it go up. I'm kind of technically challenged. So when he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into the deep waters and let your net out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught even a minnow," which is a very little fish. "But this is the catcher right here. But if you say so, I'll let out the net." If you say so. Leave your family. Leave your everything behind and move to a new state. What God told somebody. And I know for a fact that they said, "If you say so." God told you, time to let go of what you're holding on to. But can you really say, "God, if you say so"? Oh, see, that's where the blessing lies, right there, in those words. "If you say so, God. Give you all of my heart and give you all of me, if you say so, God. Believe and stand on your word that even though it looks like everything around me is falling apart and my world is falling apart and everything is here, but if you say that it's going to be all right, God, I believe." Because, see, part of going out into the deep is being able to have blind faith. And see, in Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of what is not seen. So Simon said, "All right, I was hoping to catch some fish. I ain't catch none. But look, if you say go out, man, I believe you. You just preached to all them people. I saw you doing the healing. I've seen what you can do. if you say so, then I'm going to step on. How many of you can stand here and sit here tonight and say, I've seen it? The songwriter said, I've seen him work. How many of you tonight have seen him work, but you still don't stand on his word? How many times you done been in trouble and he's come through and you still can't stand on his word, but you wonder, God, why I ain't got where I'm supposed to be yet? I don't know about to see. Because of obedience and faith. Come to the deep. It's time to come to the deep, but you can't come to the deep with a bunch of baggage. Because, see, baggage will make you sink. You can't come to the deep with a bunch of problems because you got to be able to concentrate when you come to the deep. You can't come to the deep worrying about this and worrying about that and worrying about your kids and worrying about all of this because you got to give it to God and trust that I'm stepping out where God has called me. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anybody know what it means to be impossible? So, again, because this is Bible study, I want to ask you a question. How many of us tonight are really pleasing God? You ain't got to answer that, but I know you probably just said, ouch. How many of us are really pleasing him? How many of us are really standing flat foot on God's word? The same word that you read every day. The same word that you can quote front to back. The same word that you are always studying, but are you standing on it? He said in Matthew's 17:20, but if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, all he's saying, and the reason he said that, if you go further back up, because of the lack of faith that the people had. God ain't saying that you got to have a whole bowl of faith. Maybe you haven't got to a bowl of faith yet. God didn't even say that you got to have a cup of faith. I go a little further. He didn't even say that you had to have a teaspoon of faith. He said that if you just have a smidgen. I don't know if you know what a grain of a mustard seed look like, but it's almost microscopic. It's so small. You put it on your finger, you can barely see it. And God said that if you just have that much faith, you can please me. If you just have that much faith, the rest of the scripture says you can say to the mountain, be thou removed. Now, I'm reminded of a story, and it was a little funny, but there was a lady, and she had a mountain in her backyard, and she didn't like it, and so she prayed, and she said, God, you said that if I have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, I could tell the mountain to be removed, and the mountain to be removed. And I don't like this mountain right here back behind my house, and it's irritating. She prayed, and she believed. And a week later, they started construction and was tearing down the mountain. And she went out, and she asked, and she's like, what's going on? She said, we don't know what happened, but it was an instant purchase. Somebody bought the land, the mountain is being tore down, and we're building a school. And she began to shout because she said the mountain was gone. Now, you may not actually have a mountain, because most of us live in the Midwest, which is some of the flattest plain around. But what is the mountain that's in your life?
Right.
Maybe your mountain is the fact that you just can't trust God fully. But I'm asking you tonight, what is your mountain? Because, see, well, we got to read the rest of this. After Simon said that they'd been fishing all night and hadn't even caught a minnow, but if you say so, we'll let down the line. It was not sooner than done, a huge haul of fish straining the net past capacity. They waved to their partners and the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Because God already knew what he had planned. Jesus knew what was planned for them, but they just had to believe. Now, you take them fishing all night and you turn that into you've been working and praying and fasting and all of this, but you wonder what's going on. Why I ain't got what I got to get yet? First off, you got to launch out into the deep and get away from some people. Because what God has for you ain't for everybody else. And what God also has for you ain't for everybody to see. You can come back to the shore shining with nothing but bling. But sometimes you got to get away from your native people and your homeland so that God can bless you. But tonight I come to tell you that it's time for you to get ready and come out to the deep. It's time to let go of the petty stuff. Life is too short. It's time to let go of things that you've been holding on to that really ain't got nothing to do with you. It's time for you to step out into the deep, because there are blessings upon blessings upon blessings for you out in the deep, but you can't get to those blessings because you got things still pulling you down in the shallow. But I tell you tonight to get out of the shallow. God, I don't know how I'm going to get to the deep. God said a vessel for has already been provided for you to get there. But you still holding on. Somebody on here, God done told you, get ready and go get that new car. But you scared to launch out into the deep. You like, God, I'm not sure. I don't know which way these jobs are going. COVID is running rampant. And I'm just not sure. But God said step out into the deep. Somebody's thinking about, I think I want to get me a house. I think I really want to get a house and get out of this apartment, but I'm scared to go because I don't know how things are going, and I don't know, and there's so many people on unemployment. But see, the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Are you righteous today? And if you are, understand that you're not going to deal with what everybody else deal with. But you got to step out of the deep. I dare you to come out into the deep. See, we have fun when we are out in the deep because it's easier to swim because it ain't as crowded. There's more room to move around. See, when you come out into the deep, you can grow. When you come out into the deep, see, you can get the big house that you wanted because you ain't got to worry about John, Paul, and Sally talking about you think you something, because John, Paul, and Sally ain't coming out into the deep. See, John, Paul, and Sally ain't coming to the neighborhood that God's trying to send you to. But you got to get away from them in order for you to get the mindset. See, my daddy used to always tell me, he said, son, if you're the smartest person in the room, then you're in the wrong room. And if you're the smartest person in your circle is too small. Or if you're the most blessed person in the circle, you're in the wrong circle. Because you need to be where there are some people getting some bigger blessings. You sitting there, and you like, you know what, I'm cool. I like the house I got. I'm cool with the car I got. I'm good, and you get complacent when God is saying, I got so much more for you. The songwriter said, there is much more that I have for you. But you got to be ready for what God has. In order for you to be ready, first you got to learn to obey. You got to learn to be obedient. I know it's hard. I was probably the most disobedient and hard-headed child in the world. My mama loved me to death, and I loved my mama, but she used to tell people that is the worst child I ever had. Because everything she did, everything she tell me to do, I do the opposite. So many times, that's the way so many of us are. There's a blessing sitting there, waiting. Look at that. They had been toiling all night. But they had been on the wrong side and in the wrong place. And he said, go out to the deep. And I'm sure they're like, look at here, man. First of all, you the preacher. What do you really know about fishing? But then they heard a voice. And the voice was like, look, maybe you want to hear him. And so he was like, you know, truth be told, well, we got the nose. We were fishing all night. We ain't made no money. We ain't caught nothing. Man, let's see what this preacher is on. And little did they know that there was a blessing all the time there waiting on them. And they were just expecting to catch a regular loaf. But how many know that my God and your God ain't a regular joke? How many know, I've often said to people that God is a show-off. And I love it, puts on a show. They went out expecting to just catch some fish. They let the nets down. How many times? Anybody read that with me? Anybody, somebody unmute their phones and just tell me, how many times did they let their net down? Anybody? They let the net down one time. Now, before that, you figure they had been fishing all night. I'm sure they had been dropped those nets quite a few times and drugged the waters trying to catch something, and they ain't caught nothing. But they put the net, all the net, down, and in one fell swoop, after Jesus spoke, they got more fish than they would have ever caught. They caught so many fish till they had to bring another boat over, and then it was still so many fish that the boats almost sank because there was that much weight in the two boats. How many know God will give you double for your trouble? But you got to step out into the deep. God will give you double for your trouble. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but God will give you double. Because as I read, two boats were filled, and both boats was almost about to sink. And when they went out the first time, I'm sure there was a few boats, and they didn't catch nothing. Just like Simon, you've been out fishing all night. You've been busting your knuckles. You've been banging your head. You've been not sleeping at night trying to figure it out. When God is saying, give it to me. Come to the deep. I got a blessing for you in the deep. I got what you've been looking for in the deep. If you just trust me, believe me, and obey me, I got a blessing of proportion that you can't even believe. I got a blessing while you're sitting there and you contemplating, I want to go, I want to move, but I'm not sure. God is saying, while you trying to find the 3-bedroom, I got a 5-bedroom for you. but come to the deep. While you looking for this and for that, God said, I already got the house here. The 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom with the car, the 2-car garage is already sitting here waiting for you, but you got to come to the deep. No, you ain't got to go get a 2018. God said, I got a 2021 sitting here for you with a payment that you can afford, but you got to come out to the deep. God, I want to go back to school so bad, but I just don't think I can afford it. God said the tuition is already covered, but you got to come out into the deep. Because, see, I'm trying to tell you, but you on the shore and I'm in the deep, and you can't hear me. But when you get close to me, you can hear my voice. Did somebody catch that revelation?
Yes,
when you
get close
to me, you can hear my voice. When you get close to me, you got to get intimate. How many know about intimacy with God? See, but God said, I'm a little secretive, and see, I want to be intimate with you, but we ain't got to be around everybody. But come on out to the deep. And when you come out here to the deep and you get close to me and you begin to obey, see, when you begin to obey God, God begin to open up the windows of heaven. And when he said, I will pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. But you got to obey. You got to obey. Are there any comments before we go any further?
All mics are open.
Yeah, I liked when you spoke of having faith, the fisherman who saw all night long and didn't catch anything, but he listened to God. He had faith, and he just put his net down once, and he had all kinds of fish. And I was taught also that to humble oneself, don't take on the position that you know everything. But anyway, you said, you know, I think it was your father who said, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. You got to be willing to take on knowledge and be obedient. But taking in that knowledge, God's word, is very significant, very paramount, very important. So we have to be able to constantly check ourselves to make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing. We're doing God's word. We're spreading the spreading the gospel. But you can't spread the gospel if you don't know what it is, or if you think you know what it is because you're so smart. You haven't gotten into the Bible, his word. How can you do it, you know? It's not realistic, you know? So sometimes we have to humble ourselves and do what God wants us to do. This is Jonah did not want to do what God told him to do, but there are consequences for that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen. 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 This word was rich. Rich. And it reminds me of my late apostle. Do something that you never did so you can receive something that you never had. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Eretta. And you know what? You are absolutely right. But before I go any further, anybody else?
Yes. I want to add something, Bishop. I apologize. I'm in the middle of doing something at work.
All right.
I want to add that intimacy about being with God and being in the deep. When you're in the deep, you can't depend on nobody but God. That's it. That's
amen.
That's
amen.
You might have a life vest or something on, but who gonna come get you? You waiting, and that's the part that hurts us the most. You waiting on God, and we get impatient. I know I do. When I wait on God, I get frustrated. I get tired. I keep thinking it's just the same thing day in and day out. But baby, when God come get you, come on here. When God come and get you,
that
rescue, when you see that rescue copter or whatever, the Coast Guard, whoever come and get you when you're lost out in the deep. You better come on here. I'm going to leave that alone. But good word, good word.
Amen. And thank you so much, Apostle. Amen. Dr. Clay, that's my pastor, Apostle Monica Lee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Truly, Pastor Eretta said something that my mother used to say all the time. Do something you never did to get something that you never had. And those words stayed with me for a long time. Do something that you never did to get something that you never had. So if you haven't tried God, try Him and see what you receive. He said that I'm a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And you walking down a dark road trying to figure it out when all the time He's the light. But you got to come to the light.
Yes.
Even when the boats are way out there, they look for the lighthouse. Because the lighthouse guides them in. I got a really, really good friend of mine. His name is Big Rob. A good friend of mine lives down in Florida. Rob is a local celebrity because he was on the boat fishing, and the boat capsized. There was about six people on there. Rob, they were out in the middle of the ocean, and everybody was holding on and trying to hold on till the Coast Guard got there. And he said one by one, he watched as his friends dropped off and drowned. And he watched as his friend's son dropped off and drowned. But Rob said he held on to that boat with all that he had. And he said that throughout the night it was dark and he felt stuff bumping up against him, but he said, I will not die. I'm going to hold on to this boat. He held on for 18 hours, and finally the Coast Guard came and got him. They said he had all kind of barnacles from the ocean in his legs, and legs was weak, but he still made it. And what I'm saying to you is that you might be hanging on just like my friend was, but if you keep holding on, God is about to come. They always said he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time.
Yes,
I always thought that to be somewhat cliche, but the older I got, and the more I begin to understand God, just like I told you about my husky, God moves in his time. In his time ain't your time, but God knows your time.
Amen.
I'm
going to
say that again to somebody who didn't understand it. God's time ain't your time. God's time is not your timing, but God knows your time. Well, Bishop, what do you mean? His time is not my time, but he knows my time. God knows your timeline. He knows what's due, when it's due, and what has to be done. But he also knows that if he give it to you a week before it's due, you'll spend it and it'll still be due. Somebody just say ouch. Just say ouch. See,
ouch.
He knows that if he moved too early, you know, them shoes that you saw, you subject to go buy. And then you ain't going to pay the whole bill, and now the next bill is going to be even higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that outfit that you saw when you was on the internet from Pretty Girl Universe, you was like, it's only $50. I got all the money but $50, so I'll pay all of it but $50. Nah, God already know that's what you're going to do. That's why I said his time ain't your time, but he know your time.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you. I done had the bill due in 24 hours, and before the bill was due, the money was here. But God knew, had the money came, I probably would have did something different. See, I can talk about this because when I talk about it, I'm talking about myself.
Experience.
Because, see, I went through a lot of things because of my disobedience. And I'm here to tell you that when God wants you, God will get you.
Amen.
My mama used to say, he'll put a hook in your jaw. Ain't nobody putting no hook in my jaw. What are you talking about? But you know what? I kept running from God. I was living life like I wanted, like it wasn't no tomorrow. I had plenty of money. I was young, rich, big houses, 30-some years old, got a $500,000 house. Sell that house, go buy me one bigger, because I decided I like tennis. So I get a house with a whole tennis court in the back. I'm young. I take money to church. I tell my mama, bless it. I pray, tell her and the woman of God to pray for me. I go on about my business. Now, how many know when God calls? All of a sudden, my business failed. Couldn't afford my house no more. Couldn't afford my cars no more. No more Benz for me. No more, none of that. I wind up homeless. And let me show you how God works. The one person that I have wronged probably the most is who God used to open the door for me to give me some place to stay. Because when God wants your attention, he'll get your attention. I realized I was like, I don't have my money. I got indicted. They took every penny. I was like, God, I don't want to go to jail. He didn't let me go to jail, but they sure took all my money from me. But you know what? I realized, as hard-headed as I was, that you know what? I think God is trying to call me and get my attention. And because of that, I started getting up, catching the bus. Going to church, getting there, doing what I had to do, doing some things. I've been through some things, and I've dealt with some things, and I'm here to tell you that no matter what you're dealing with tonight, because I know it's time for us to close out, if you just step out and trust God,
yes,
remember, obey and believe. And if you just do those two things and do as God is telling you, I promise you, the doors are going to open for you. Tell somebody 2021 is my year. And I don't say that a lot about a lot of the years because they ain't been my year. But 2021 is going to be a year for the people of God.
Yeah.
God bless you. I hope something that was said tonight touched your heart and that you step into the deep, back into the hands of Dr. Clay.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Harris. Thank you so much for your humble spirit. I know that as I was listening, that you definitely spoke to my spirit, and time and time again, things that I've experienced in my life. I don't know about anyone else who's been listening. There's a lot on the line. But you definitely spoke to my spirit, so I thank you so much for a word for this evening. I have to say that, you know, one of the things that really caught me was, you know, in order to obey God, you have to trust him. And I think that is so true. And that is so true. In order to step out in the deep, you got to trust and know that God is going to see you through. So that is that's definitely a timely word, not only for myself, but I can speak for others that are on the line also. We've all, listen, we have all fallen short from the glory of God, you know, and we're constantly trying to become closer and have a closer walk with the Lord. So thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. Or for those of you from Chicago that, you know, that attended, Apostle, Pastor, you know, thank you so much for being a part of this hour and joining us this evening. We'd like to invite you back again. For those of you who are tuned in, thank you so much once again. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Everyone, please stay safe.
Amen.
Amen. I face the dawn.